Welcome to today's Journal Club webinar. My name is Kayla Jenkins, and I'm the Communications Assistant at the Society for Nutrition, Education, and Behavior. I'm glad you all could join us for our presentation today. If you look in the GoToWebinar toolbar, you'll see a Handouts tab, and here's where you will find the slides for today. Feel free to go ahead and download those and take notes as you follow along with today's presentation. We'll take questions at the end of the webinar, so please type your questions in the question box at any time throughout the presentation so that we can then moderate them to our presenters. When the webinar ends, you'll be prompted to complete a short survey. We do appreciate your feedback on this session as well as ideas for future journal clubs. And lastly, watch for a follow-up email to be sent by the end of the day on Wednesday this week that will include a link to the recording for the session, the slides, any other additional resources, and the CEU certificate that you will be earning for your attendance today. So our moderator today is Rachel Dager. She's the Executive Director of SNEB.
Great. Thank you, Kayla. And welcome to our presenters today. Joining us is Brittany Marquides. She completed her BS and MS at Texas State University, where she is currently a lecturer. Her research focus revolves around maternal and child health. Ms. Marquides serves as a research consultant specializing in helping nonprofits and public health organizations measure and report outcomes, and is the founder of Choose Food, a nutrition private practice specializing in non-diet approaches to health. Dr. Sylvia Critchell is a professor of nutrition and foods at Texas State University. She founded and co-directs Best Food for Families, Infants, and Toddlers, Best Food Fits, a community-based program dedicated to combating childhood obesity in pursuit of technology solutions to improve health. She's investigating the use of technology to improve health behaviors among low-income families enrolled in WIC and Head Start. And Dr. Leslie Biediger-Friedman is Assistant Professor in Nutrition and Food at Texas State University. The focus of her research includes policy systems and environmental approaches to explore innovative strategies to build public health nutrition infrastructure, address food security, and improve dietary practices of maternal and child populations. She is the co-director of the Best Food Fits and is also chair of SNEB's Public Health Division.
Hi, sorry, I had trouble getting unmuted. All right, so we're live. Oh, hi, so sorry, this is Brittany Marquides here. We just wanted to introduce ourselves and put a picture to the voices you'll be hearing.
Hi, this is Sylvia Critchell.
And hi, this is Leslie Biediger-Friedman.
Courtney Thompson is not with us today. I briefly wanted to give her some accolades. Courtney was a lead graduate student on the menu collection and analysis of this part of the study and did a fabulous job, but she's not here today. This slide outlines our presentation. We will begin with learning objectives, describe the background, et cetera. The focus of this presentation, however, is on methods. The learning objectives are here. First, describe elements of the child care center workshop intervention that can engage the staff, child care center directors and staff. The second one is to describe how to assess the impact of a workshop intervention using SuperTracker and the mixed core macro. And the third is describe how to compare and display pre-post child care center menu HEI scores. We will warn you or notify you when we get to the slides dealing directly with these learning objectives. The next few slides set the stage for this research. Through communication with San Marcos CISD schools, we have known for some time that children in San Marcos were at unusually high risk for excess weight. Texas Education Agency fitness data reveals that more than half of children in middle school or higher experience overweight or obesity. In this slide, compares our rates to the nation. While we do not have apples to apples comparison, it is clear that compared to the national data, San Marcos children are disproportionately at risk. So based on these local health disparities, together with another colleague, Dr. BJ Friedman, I was awarded a grant from the Texas Department of State Health Services in 2010 to combat the risk for excess weight faced by children in our community. Using these funds, we developed a community coalition termed Best Food for Families, Infants, and Toddlers, known as Best Food Fits, which engages community stakeholders. The mission is to make it easier for children and families to consume more fruits and vegetables and fewer sugar-sweetened beverages, and our goals are to collaborate with the community. To date, we have improved children's menus in area restaurants and in childcare centers, and have offered, we continue to offer cooking classes. And under the Best Food Fits umbrella, we continue to interact with the community and conduct research. Here, we just put in a fun slide here. This shows our Best Food Fits branding. These were used for children's menus, which explains their cheerfulness. But we've also made quite a bit of promotional items using these items. And the last piece here is Broccolicious, who he's found on t-shirts and is the face of Best Food Fits in our community.
So although body weight is of course influenced by a variety of factors such as genetic variation, epigenetic programming, physical activity, and the built environment, we know that dietary intake plays a fundamental role. And unfortunately, the diets of many children in the United States likely promote weight gain and negatively influence taste preferences and eating habits that can persist into adulthood. So we have here, of course, the socio-ecological model of obesity, and all endeavors to combat childhood obesity should, of course, be considered within this model. Childcare centers, of course, fit squarely among behavioral settings. So the childcare center is a particularly appealing environment for researchers and public health stakeholders who wish to plan childhood obesity interventions. In the childcare center, we can typically reach more than half of children in a given community. And because children who attend childcare center consume most of their dietary intake in the center, interventions in this setting have tremendous potential to shape positive dietary habits in preschoolers. And prior research in this setting has suggested, of course, that childcare center providers have a knowledge gap with regards to providing a healthful food environment for children in the center. So a relatively simple way to educate childcare center providers and address this gap in knowledge and education with regards to a healthy food environment is with a training workshop. We've seen that workshops held in other communities may have guided childcare center staff to improve the quality of the menus. For example, in a study spanning three states, Alcon et al. Reported positive yet non-significant changes in the nutritional quality of foods offered in centers following a workshop intervention. Given that significant improvements were observed for other outcomes, such as provider knowledge and children's BMIs, it is possible that the method used to assess changes in childcare center foods, which in this case was a single day of observation, was not sensitive enough to reveal significant improvements.
Okay, onward with the first objective, to measure the efficacy of child care center staff and educational workshop in improving child care menus in South Central Texas, including San Marcos, by comparing menus collected for a period of 4 weeks before and 4 weeks after the workshop intervention. As with all research studies, we'll begin with the method, and we began with getting institutional review board approval to begin our study. The intervention described herein was part of a larger child care center study. Here we describe recruitment of child care centers, the initial site visit, which included collection of menus and an assessment of the nutrition and physical activity built environments, a workshop intervention for child care center directors and staff, including a follow-up phase in which support was offered via telephone, and a final site visit, which included collection of menus and assessment of nutrition and physical activity environments, and then data analysis. We developed a comprehensive list of child care centers in Hays County and the nearby Bastrop County, listed on the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services Child Care Center licensing website. During scripted phone calls, centers were reviewed for eligibility criteria, which included licensure by the state and providing at least one meal or snack per day. Incentives for participation included a total of $75 in grocery gift cards, which were distributed in three phases for participation in the study. Continuing education units for staff members attending the workshop were provided, and Best Food Fits tote bags and t-shirts were distributed as well.
During the initial site visit, following informed consent, a team of two researchers collected menus from a previous month and conducted a two-hour assessment of nutrition and physical activity environments of the center through observing the kitchen, classrooms, play areas, rooms where meals were served. And the results of the built environment assessments were not reported herein, but we'll talk about them later. Afterward, researchers made follow-up calls to clarify menu details such as serving size. Photographs were taken in the built environment assessment in the kitchen, looking at things like beverages, the refrigerator, the classroom, looking at wall art and educational materials, and they were shared with the staff later in the workshop.
So before the workshop itself, we did conduct a preliminary menu analysis on the full month of menus we collected at the first site visit in order to create an educational tool for the workshop. I'll be covering this methodology in greater detail in just a bit, but in a nutshell, we entered menu items from childcare centers into the USDA Super Tracker website and used the exported food groups and calories report to create these menu pie charts. These were customized for each center, and they represented the average number of servings per food group displayed along a MyPlate diagram. And these customized handouts were given to each childcare center, staff from each childcare center at the workshop.
Okay, the workshop intervention, a five-hour workshop for child care center directors and staff was conducted by the nutrition faculty at Texas State University, nutrition students and dietetic interns, and it was held on a Saturday at the university about 1 to 2 months after the initial site visit. The protocol included official registration, healthful menus, continuing education credits, and structured activities. Lectures in this workshop addressed risk factors and ramifications of child obesity, including how child care centers and parents have important roles in prevention, the pivotal role of caregivers that they play in the health of children, and key components of child nutrition. We reviewed the Child and Adult Care Center food program guidelines, urging staff to improve menus beyond the guidelines to aim for best practices, such as limiting high-calorie items like cheese, high-sugar items, fruit juice, refined grain products like crackers, and including more whole grains, fruits, and vegetables. And the importance of child care center environments on nutrition and physical activity was a key focus of these educational activity or presentations. So participants were then grouped by center and completed two reflection activities. The first, comparing their customized menu handouts to MyPlate. And the second, focusing on the environment, inviting participants to reflect on the photographs that were taken of their built environment in our initial assessment, looking at their kitchens, artwork, classrooms, and aligning them with healthful nutrition practices. Finally, goal setting. So participants from each child care center were led through goal setting activities to make improvements on these workshop activities. So after the menus were collected during a final site visit, which was about 3 to 4 months after the workshop when the fall semester began for the child care centers, calls were then made to clarify menu details, and the menu data were processed using Super Tracker as previously described.
All right, so now I'm gonna give a little bit more detail about how we actually prepared the data sets for analysis. So first, we had the raw menus. We collected these menus. We have a sample picture here. And we entered items from these menus into unique profiles on Super Tracker. So you can create an account and then create a unique profile for each childcare center. And we entered them in, as you can see, this screenshot here for a typical day. So after we did all of that, then we exported this Super Tracker food details report. So these spreadsheets consist of all of the menu items for all of the meals and snacks offered at each center. It includes the serving sizes, and then Super Tracker assigns the food group calories, whole grain equivalents, refined grain equivalents, etc. And then also detailed nutrient information. And you can see the generated report from Super Tracker here on the left, and a screenshot of our full analytic data set on the right. So these data clustered by day and childcare center were then imported into SAS for analysis. We limited this analysis to the food groups that we emphasized during the nutrition education workshop, which were increasing whole fruit and non-starchy vegetables and whole grains, and limiting fruit juice, starchy vegetables such as potatoes, refined grains, savory snacks like chips, and of course, cheese. So, investigation of the changes of the amount of food groups on menus following the intervention required us to consider some characteristics common to menu data. One is their clustered nature. So menus are a group of meals and snacks clustered within days, and then these days are clustered within childcare center. And then also, much of the data is zero inflated, meaning for many food items, such as whole grains, for example, there were many days where the amount present on menus was zero. So these present challenges because of the extreme non-normality of the distribution. And this is illustrated in the whole grains graph. And of course, the challenge with the clustered data is that menus clustered within each center are more likely to be more alike than observations across different clusters for centers. In order to get at these challenges, we used a SAS macro called MixCore, which was developed by Dr. Janet Tews to create models from zero inflated and clustered data. We used this macro to create hierarchical linear models to compare the food groups present on menus before and after the workshop. The figure on the right illustrates another key feature of the MixCore macro, which is the generation of a two-part model. The first part is the probability of a food group appearing at all on the menus. And the second part models the amount or portion size that was on the menu when that food group did appear. The macro can allow for the correlation that's often observed between the probability and the amount of food consumption. If the correlation between these two parts were significant, then we use the correlated model results. Otherwise, the uncorrelated results were used. You can see a little bit better about what I'm talking about with this output table here. For example, this was our output for non-starchy vegetables. You can see the probability part and the amount part. And you can see down below our significance test for correlation. So in non-starchy vegetables, for example, probability and amount were correlated, so we used the correlated results. All right, and then for HEI scores, we use the population ratio method to calculate the healthy eating index scores for menus collected from each center. This slide shows the resources available at the NCI website to do the healthy eating index. They have all of the SAS macros to calculate and lots of step-by-step, really good guidance on their website that we definitely took advantage of. And for HEI scores, we did the paired t-test to compare before and after the workshop.
So of the 98 childcare centers contacted, 34 agreed to participate and 10 dropped out before the site visit was conducted. Of the 24 remaining centers, 18 fully participated in all aspects of the study, including attending the workshop and providing their menus. Nutrition-oriented goals set by the child care center directors included adding more fruits and vegetables, switching to lower fat milk, and removing juice from menus.
All right, so here we have our results. So we condensed the previous Lishon table, which showed the probability and amount, into these tables here, which were presented in the article itself. So child care center menus collected a few months after the workshop intervention reflected much of the nutrition education offered during the workshop. The probability and amount of food groups appearing on menus before and after the workshop intervention are shown on this table. So after the workshop, there was a lower probability for menus to include fruit juice and starchy vegetables, and a higher probability for menus to contain non-starchy vegetables and whole grains. In addition, after the workshop, there were significantly fewer amounts of refined grains, savory snacks, and cheese. The total HEI scores of child care center menus collected before the workshop were significantly lower than the scores collected after the workshop. And I wanted to spend a few minutes here and talk about this visualization of these HEI scores. So you see at the top here, we have total fruit, and going around clockwise, all of the items, total fruit, whole fruit, total vegetables, all the way around to fatty acids. When we see the line moving outwards on the radar graph, we know that there is more of these foods. So these are foods that we would like to increase in our diets. And then continuing on to refined grains, sodium, and empty calories, as the graph moves out, it indicates that there were less of these items in their diet. So when the orange shape, which is the shape demonstrating the HEI scores after the workshop, moves out closer to the edge, we see that that is indicating an improvement in the overall quality of the diet of the, the quality of the menus offered after the workshop. And this radar chart was plotted in Excel, very simply using their pre-formatted charting tools. We put in the HEI scores and generated this graph. And it's a really great visual way to represent the changes in the diet quality or the menu quality. Oh, and you can see here, total HEI scores of child care center menus were 56 compared to 49, and the significance level was 0.009.
Okay, so we have quite a few things to say to kind of wrap up the study. First of all, this study, which was conducted under the umbrella of Best Food Fits, within a community at high risk for child obesity, investigated the effect of a full day nutrition education workshop for child care center staff on the nutritional quality of child care center menus. Child care center menus collected a few months after the workshop had significantly higher total HEI scores, as we just mentioned, and reflected much of the nutrition education offered during the workshop. Something to note here is that we didn't ask them to better meet CACFP guidelines, but instead we asked them to make improvements, to look for best practices. And many of the goals that they set had to do with developing best practices. So the first two points on this slide deal with the success of the intervention. We feel that one reason may be that the workshop was professional and interactive, inviting personal reflection by child care center staff on how the environment and menus of their center might reflect the health of the might affect the health of children and their care. And then anchoring the reflection and goal setting activities around visuals specific to each center, in particular on pie charts generated from pre-workshop analysis of existing menus, may have been a unique motivator. We found in the workshop that this was an eye-opening assessment. And while this wasn't the primary purpose of the study or our report today, they were also kind of stunned by the pictures of the environmental assessment, whereas they felt like they would say, we don't have too many sugary foods in the facility and we promote health. They actually had pictures of candy on the walls. And so that was an eye opener and quite interesting. Another explanation may be the rigorous approach this study used in menu assessment, which Britt has talked about. But first, to sum up, compared to similar studies that reported positive yet non-significant improvements in menus following workshop interventions, this study collected and analyzed more menus from the centers. Specifically, we gathered a month before and a month after the workshop.
Menus can be variable. Collecting a full month of menus pre and post intervention may have better captured the nutritional practices of each child care center, and therefore we may have been in a better position to detect significant improvements. Also, the analytic method employed in the study was capable of dealing with a statistical challenge presented by zero inflated data, a common characteristic of food intake and menu data. Today, to our knowledge, no other studies have taken this approach to assess changes in menus following an intervention. Given that child care center interventions hold promise in improving the health of children, methods used to assess the effect of interventions should ideally be sensitive enough to detect change. And the last piece here is about best food fits in particular. Doing this kind of intervention under the umbrella of best food fits, we have found to be a very useful thing for us to do. So for one thing, because we use our branding of best food fits, people in the community are familiar with this. Other stakeholders in the community that work with us are familiar with best food fits. Now the people in the child care centers that we work with are familiar with this as well. We've conducted other research, including with Texas WIC, and we do that under this umbrella, again, to keep the focus on improving the health of new children kind of at the forefront of what people think about when they think about our nutrition program and also the health of this community. The implications, okay. In alignment with current research, the study suggests that childcare interventions often yield positive results. Implementing an educational workshop for area childcare centers is feasible for university nutrition programs, in which engaging nutrition students and dietetic interns in service learning is integral to their mission. We involved the entire dietetic internship at the time that we did this study, as well as a host of undergraduate students. So they were involved in helping with the registration, working with the childcare center staff. They all wore Best Food Fits t-shirts, which helped have a degree of professionalism and cohesion to the professional nature of the workshop. And we encourage other universities to do this type of thing, which seems to be functional and pretty doable. So dietitians also in community settings have the capacity to reach out to community child care centers in this manner as well. Now, doing this as a research project takes a lot of money, right? Because you have to have money to incentivize people and so forth. But even in the absence of these kind of funds, it is possible to hold cheaper workshops, right, with some type of incentives. And one of the incentives we didn't really bring up, we brought up, but we didn't emphasize, was offering continuing education. All the child care centers and staff are required to get continuing education. And they appreciated the fact that we put on this workshop for them and kind of rolled out the red carpet. And so the demeanor of everyone during the workshop was very positive. So we also feel that professionals can take advantage of free resources like we did. Quite frankly, Courtney Thompson was the first person on the first line of this trying to think what she, as her thesis project, what she was going to do with these menus, and she thought of Super Tracker, which ended up being a very functional way for us to work with this data. We had undergraduate students helping her as well, and you know, we had a lot of course, quality checks. But we ended up with a very doable project in this regard. And also, you know, using the MyPlate handout was a really nice way to work with people as well, because they could visualize what their menus were like compared to some standard like MyPlate. So we felt like that was an easy thing for us to do, and also easy thing for people in the community to do, because undergraduate students can enter childcare menus into Super Tracker and generate these kinds of reports without a whole lot of trouble. And again, so these are available for people that aren't doing research or that may be doing research. But in addition, we want to point out the resources at the National Institute of Health website and SAS, the University Edition, that is available. Is it free?
It's free for academic and nonprofit organizations to use the SAS University Edition.
So in short, spending some time to study the methodology on the websites that are present is something that can be accomplished by people with enough education to do that. So we wanted to say thank you.
Yes.
So Brittany Marchides here. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to us talk about this research project. We really enjoyed working on it, and we think it did a lot of good in our community, and we really hope that we've given you here, or at least pointed you in the direction of resources that you can use to hold a similar workshop in your own community and to analyze and detect the changes that it may make for you.
Thank you. What Britt said. This is Sylvia.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. This is Rachel. If anyone has any questions for our presenters, just type those in the question block and I will moderate those. I would just comment, I have never seen a use of Super Tracker similar to what you mentioned. Are you seeing that? Have you found other examples of how Super Tracker has been used in a similar way? And is it possible that the centers themselves could have used that tool to analyze their own menus?
So, yeah, Rachel, we haven't seen any other examples of this. And this is something that childcare centers could very easily do to analyze their own menus. And it's kind of funny, as a program, some of our introductory nutrition classes, we've actually moved from using Nutrition Calc and some of these other paid nutrition analysis programs to have students analyze their own diets using a resource that they can continue to access after they're out of school and out of class. And on a personal level, in my private practice, I actually invite my clients to analyze their own nutrition in that way. So it's extremely user-friendly. It's very easy to do.
Yeah, we had a question. Go ahead.
Rachel, I was going to speak a little bit to the capacity of the center also. So at first response, I think, well, Head Start and larger child care centers could easily do this because they have capacity to do it. But one of the things that we found is that a lot of the smaller child care centers are very interested in improving the nutrition of their menus and are looking for tools that are usable to them. And we're receptive to the training that we provided in the workshop. And it was something that I think with a little bit of technical support, they can be walked through. So really the value of putting this kind of training in your community, I think maybe speaks to a bigger variety of centers being able to look at the value of their menus.
Yeah, we had another question regarding Super Tracker. The comment is, I know that you need a lot of detail, ounces and portions, and at least those menus don't have that level of detail, at least the version that doesn't come home to a parent. How accessible was the detail that you needed from the Child Care Center to put that information in the Super Tracker?
Well, that's a great question. So when we were at the centers, you know, during the first site visit and then the last one, we collected those menus. And as you say, there can be all over the board. Some of them can have detail and some of them don't. So that's what we did the follow-up calls with. And I think, so we called and asked every center all of the questions. So we filled in all the gaps. If the gaps weren't there, we filled them all in. And that would be one of the things that people would need to consider if they were having people go out on their own to analyze the menus to understand what a portion size is. So even if you were not to go hold a workshop, but to just go and help child care centers use Super Tracker, they would at least need to know the portion sizes. But a lot of them were CACFP certified, about half of them were, and so they were familiar with the portion sizes at the outset.
Excellent. We had a question. On the radar chart, it looks like total vegetable consumption declined slightly. Just wanted to confirm that we're looking at this correctly. And is this due to the reduction in the starchy vegetables?
That's our feeling. So total vegetable intake declined slightly. I just pulled up the radar chart so we can see that here. And if we go back to our results table, we can see that non-starchy vegetables increased a bit, so 5.1 to 7.3, and then starchy vegetables decreased from 4.8 to 3.9. So there was definitely some replacement with replacing starchy vegetables with non-starchy vegetables, and the decrease of starchy vegetables probably influenced the decrease in total vegetables.
Yeah, probably an interesting thing to do this would be to dig into this to see if it's potatoes, because you know, a lot of the starchy vegetables are really okay. So if it was sweet potatoes, we wouldn't really want to suggest that they decrease that, and that was not our intent.
Exactly. I remember doing a lot of the data entry on this a long time ago, and a surprising number of childcare centers were offering french fries pretty often. So, yeah.
So that's a good thing to get those down.
Next question, was there any observation or plans for follow-up research concerning child acceptance of the improved menus?
You know, that's not on our radar right now, but it would be a great thing to do. We've done, you know, I'm trying to think what we've done. I have done work in interviewing, you know, children in WIC in San Marcos, for example, and by using NDSR to find out their, to get a 24-hour recall or a couple of 24-hour recalls and look at usual nutrient intake from them. And we've also, Britt, speak to your project too.
So we're preparing a manuscript right now. We went into some of these child care centers, a lot of other different child care centers as well after this project, and we weren't able to compare the usual dietary intake before and after this workshop, but we do have data on the usual dietary intake of this population of preschoolers in child care centers in this community. And we're actually preparing that manuscript right now.
Interesting. I was also curious about the CACFP. So about half of the centers participated in that funding. I think I've read where those regulations have recently changed. Is there any indication that that might help improve the diets in these centers?
You know, it's not something that we looked at. I'm going to scroll back real quick to that mixed core model. So we took whether or not the centers were on the CACFP program into consideration because we saw that it was correlated with the types, with the quality of the menus. And we didn't really mine down and look at how that worked in this particular research. We have some research coming up that talks about how childcare centers may influence the usual dietary intake of children related to what I was talking about before. But we included as a covariate so that we were able to say, okay, excluding CACFP, was there a difference before and after? So that's how we treated that.
Also, the guidelines changed after the study.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Okay. That makes sense. Did the workshop include any tips for sourcing fresh fruits and especially vegetables?
Well, we allowed the child care centers to share some of their strategies on doing that. And that's one of the ways it came up. Certainly gardens at the child care centers came up. We talked about that a little bit. We have some interesting philosophies in our counties with the health departments and child care center grown produce being able to be served to children. And some of the centers have figured out how to do that within current policies. So things like that were shared and strategies of buying in bulk. We found that food was purchased in a really wide variety of ways from going to the grocery store on a pretty regular basis, procuring the food to large food distribution company contracts. And so a little bit of the value of using a company like U.S. Foods for food distribution was discussed. So it was more of a discussion topic, and we found that it really kind of depended on the size of the center, and we had a wide variety of sizes.
We also emphasized things like just plan on buying what's on sale. So go into the produce section and find out what's on sale and, you know, and seasonal and what's on sale and be a little open about planning for that. And that was a useful strategy for. And one of the things, this isn't what you're asking, but one of the things that we found so interesting is people just didn't think about the crackers that much and the goldfish as being something that weren't all that healthy. And so the emphasis was to, when we talked about best practices, even though, you know, items, whole grain goldfish would be, you know, allowed, is to talk about best practices and go for the produce that way. So we, most everybody in this community, I think there's three major grocery stores. There's a large HEB, a smaller one, and then also a Walmart. Those are the main grocery stores. So a lot of the smaller, what else?
Sam's. Sam's. A lot of people were buying from wholesale.
Yeah. Okay. So they're buying from locally. So, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
We also provided recipes and snack ideas in their handouts and fielded questions on those, getting the children involved in lessons that had food preparation and things. And that part of the continuing education included small lessons and handouts for the staff.
Excellent. And I was also curious about the education level of the child care center workers. Did you find that they came from a similar education level, or was it fairly diverse?
It was fairly diverse, Rachel, with the majority being less than college education. So there was, we have several associate degree granting programs. I think we expected to see more of that, but the majority did not have a certification. They had a certification to be, they didn't have an associate's degree is what I'm trying to say. And then we did have people with master's degrees in there. So it was a pretty wide variety. And that was something that we were anticipating prior to the workshop. We had already interviewed the directors of the child care centers, and we were a little anxious of how the workshop would be facilitated with such a variety of backgrounds. And really all participants in the workshop were receptive to the messages and came from different places and engaged in thoughtful dialogue. It worked honestly just a whole lot better than we thought for a continuing education workshop. So it was something that we think the community was very in need of and interested in.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would think that definitely speaks to the need, the fact that they were so receptive to the education. I do not have any other questions unless anyone has anything they'd like to type in. We'll let Kayla wrap things up.
Great. Thank you, Rachel. And thank you again to our presenter today for sharing your research with us. Just a reminder that when I close the session, there will be a short survey, and we do appreciate your feedback. Please watch for an email on Wednesday this week. It will include the links for this recording, the slideshow, as well as the CEU certificate that you are earning for today's webinar. Be sure to register for Journal Club 4. That webinar takes place next Monday, October 16th. And that concludes today's session. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you so much.